B-Pod Studios.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. A very exciting time on the show. If you missed Everybody is Angry in Brookline, we will be able to hear that again. Remember, we are on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv and hit up the Sports Hub.
There was a guy, I didn't play it on the Everyone's Angry in Brookline because his accent was so thick that it was tough to hear. But he called 911 because somebody rang his doorbell, and when he opened it up, they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I must be at the wrong house."
But they were obviously scheming for some kind of armed robbery.
So he called. It was a woman, by the way, and it seemed she seemed to be just fine, and she walked away, and then walked, I think, down a little bit to try to go to the next house, and I think that's when she went in. But this guy called 911 because she went to the wrong house by accident.
Like, what would it take for you to call the police?
Someone injured. Like, someone like with, like, an injury that I couldn't fix, that needed to go to the hospital immediately.
Because people can't get into your building.
Probably not. I mean, because I live in like, a building that's, you know, like, it's a mid-rise.
Right.
So there'd be several different things you had to go through to get to where I live. But if I found out that someone, like, broke into my house, like, if I heard someone downstairs, yeah, then I'd call 911.
Okay,
in a house, yes.
Right, because the one, I didn't call 911, but I did a police report because someone just pulled up in front of our house, which is on a street with houses every, you know, few feet, and just dumped all this garbage on it. And it seemed like not a random thing to do.
Yeah.
It seemed like they picked our house to dump the garbage on. So I'm like, if you come out, can you see if, like, this guy just dumped all this, like, a lot, like, of garbage on my lawn, and I don't think it was by accident. Because on my street, there's a house, like, houses across the street, houses on my street. It's a very residential area.
Like, there's some people who call 911 in the Brooklyn. Now, the calls are funny, but I kind of get why they do it. Like, there was one woman, let's say you have an animal control problem. Like, who do you call? Like, it's tough to just, do you call... Who knows the number for animal control? You know what I mean? And by the way, the 911 callers usually transfer you to animal control. So, like, there's one woman who had a rabid squirrel in her room that she was, like, chasing around.
Like, she knew it was rabid, please.
I mean, I guess all squirrels are rabid. But, yeah. I mean, something like that I could see. But
my landlady in Brooklyn, every time we got bats, which was three, said she was going to call the police. And I'm like, what are the police going to do? Come up here and shoot it? Like, well, I don't think the police are trained in, like, how to kill a bat.
No. I don't think that there's been a reason that I've called 911 that was... You know what? Put it this way. I felt even weird calling 911 when I wasn't sure there was a crime happening. You know, like, if I'm not 1,000% sure, I feel weird because I don't want to, like, monopolize their time. Like, when that girl in front of me, like, said, help me, I didn't really know if she did. The girl ended up getting kidnapped.
Right.
So I called 911. Thank goodness it ended up working out. But even then, I was like... Dude, should I call 911? I'm not sure this is really a crime. It might be, it might not. Because I have this weird thing inside of me that thinks that I'm pulling somebody away from, like, a murder scene.
Right.
Or like somebody, like, you know, honestly being held at gunpoint in a robbery or something like that. Like, that's just this mental picture I have in my head, even though it's probably not the case. But those people in Brookline, man, you got to get a medal for having to sit through some of those calls that you get. There's got to be, I mean, I don't know how you just don't either laugh at the people or hang up on the people immediately.
Well, remember when I had the raccoons in the trash?
Yes.
Well, they're back like crazy. Those things don't fool around.
No, the raccoons?
And they're huge now. They're like 40 pounds.
Oh.
So, at least, because they're out. They're out scurrying around.
They're in your garbage cans again or just patrolling outside the house threatening to break in?
No, we're smarter than the raccoon in that we brought our garbage cans out a little bit.
I see.
But there was the time where I had the two raccoons in the trash, and there was nothing else in the trash. They were trapped in there. So, when I came home, I was going to bludgeon them to death with a shovel.
Which is illegal.
I came to find out that I don't know why... That raccoons can take your property and do whatever they want with it, and you can't kill them.
You're defending your stuff. They're in your stuff. You're defending your stuff.
What, are they not going to kill them? Like, what are you going to do with these crazy ass raccoons once they get it in their mind that they're going to start throwing fits?
Yeah, you give them a chance, they're going to attack you. You know, You're defending yourself.
What did they? Okay, so what was funny was we were talking about it on the air, and then two police officers showed up at our house, and we're just like, "Hey, we heard about it on the air." Like, oh,
lucky they, you.
Yeah, and they just tipped the garbage can over and let him run.
Yeah,
but I because there was the one time that the squirrel had already died, but there was a batting cage net at one of the parks in Newton, and somehow one of these. Squirrels from the wrong side of probably North Newton got caught in the got caught
crossed
in the,
over Route 9. I understand.
I have a friend who's like who grew up essentially like I have a friend who's like dad buys like a like cow, like he goes to the farm and like finds the cow,
yeah,
and then the guy butchers it all up and he gets like 7,000 tons of meat, so it's like in a freezer and it lasts him the year. So like he's one of these farm people, and so he took a shovel. And he decapitated the squirrel. Now, the squirrel was already dead. Decapitated the squirrel. And then I took the squirrel on the shovel, and I dumped it in a bunch of leaves, like a bunch of plants. Mm-hmm. And I was given the what for doing that. Into what I would say, what am I supposed to do with a dead squirrel? Like, I got it out of the way. Like, no kids are going in there.
You're supposed to look at it and say,
forgive me.
I did. I mean, to desecrate the body of the squirrel.
What is that?
It was a dead squirrel.
Yeah, it was a dead squirrel.
Have you ever had 911 called on you? Like, has anyone ever, like, called 911 on you? Like, when you were, like, in college or something and were, you know, just being stupid and shenanigans?
I mean, I've been in fights where they called 911 and then I had to go to the hospital. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
I might have been responsible for some of the flack you were catching there, Freddie, because me and my buddies were finishing college in Washington Square about the time you were moving in, and we used to just play music all night long. We're all musicians. We would be singing all night. We got real bold one night, and we started launching water balloons into Washington Square, and I think we started hitting some of the old folks that were coming back from shaking their wrists at the young folks.
All right, so wait a second.
That's a dick move.
No.
Wait. I'm not going to high-five you for that. I mean, what is the whole thing?
Okay.
Listen, they're jerks.
How did you get away with it?
You knock them with a water
balloon.
How
did you get away with it?
Well, I haven't thought about it till you guys started doing these bits, but we did get the police called on us. They did show up. But they weren't too upset with us.
No, they're probably happy.
I mean, there's probably something inside. But you
something
can't
we've
do that.
Wanted to do for years, young man.
Yeah, you didn't hurt anybody. Yeah, they deserve
it. Not at all. We're having a good time.
Yeah.
Poor Edith probably just got a new hip and you just knock her in the side.
What's a balloon's not going to knock you over? Yeah. I remember I had a dog because we had gotten this dog, and the dog went to the bathroom in the middle of the road. And this woman's like, "You're not picking it up?" "Oh, it's in the middle of the road." And she goes, "Pick it up." I go, "In 10 seconds, this thing's going to be gone. Like, if two cars run it over, it's gone. Like I'm not picking." And then she got out of her car. And I'm like, "I'm not picking up something off a road. This is heaven for me. It crapped in the road. I don't have to do anything." Like, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think your car tires hit over the course of the lifetime of your car? You know how many, like, guts and dead crap that have collected in the ridges of those tires? You think a dog crap's going to hurt your car? I was in the middle of the road arguing with this woman. 5 minutes. She wouldn't leave me alone. Pick it up, or I'm calling the police. I go, "Go ahead and call the police. I unless I have 85 outstanding warrants, I think I'll be okay." Go ahead. It's a law. You got to pick it up. I go, not in the road. That thing disintegrates. It's science.
Just hits the tires and turns into like matter.
Yeah, and then the tires get hot from being on the road, and then the next thing you know that it's all gone. Because sometimes when you're walking the dog, because I'll vomit. If I pick up dog crap, I vomit.
Really?
Like for real, like I throw up.
Okay.
And
really?
So
wait, when you walk your dog, you possess a 40-pound dog. When you walk your dog, or do you walk your dog?
I do.
Okay,
walk my dog.
So you just let the dog crap wherever he craps?
If the dog craps on someone's lawn,
yeah,
I will pick it up.
Of course.
But then I will vomit.
Ah.
Not like a bile-y kind of salivy vomit. But what I'll do is, if it's like on... like the little side thing next to the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Occasionally, I'll look around, and when the cars go by, I'll like put my hand down with the bag, and then I'll skedaddle.
Then it's time. A phantom scooper.
Yeah, it's like if she went to the bathroom like at an elementary school, or like at a field.
Yes.
Like I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
But if it's in that little piece of like it's no man's land.
Stanley Roberts needs to come out and scold you.
Yeah,
my
friend. Yeah.
I need some sort of device where I would not have to use my hand. I'm not the only one who vomits when they do that.
No. I don't do it. I don't vomit.
I don't either.
No way. No. It's just easy. Just pick
not
it up.
Not a problem.
It's not easy. It's hot.
Just thinking about it? See, to me, the worst part of walking the dog is when a weirdo wants to pet my dog.
But I like when you have headphones in and someone stops and just starts talking. Like,
yeah,
okay, yeah.
That's out of bounds.
Okay, so I'm going to take my headphones out and start talking to you because Lord knows. And then what are you going to say? Oh, that's a cute dog and pet it. Great. How about this? Just pet the dog.
If it's someone you don't know and so you see a person with headphones in, that's just
and by the
weird
way,
behavior.
They always ask you what kind of dog you have so they can talk about their dog for 10 minutes.
Yes.
It is nothing. They don't really care about your dog. Yeah. They don't give a rat's ass.
Well, that's every conversation I have. I'm just asking a question so I can go on about myself.
So I can talk.
Yeah.
So now someone asks you what kind of dog it is. I say Catholic.
Yeah. This dog's going to heaven. Well, you know what? I don't believe all dogs go to heaven. All right. So who's on the phone?
Line two. Take line two.
All right.
His name is Pep?
Pep. Go ahead.
So I just want to teach you this move. I invented this move, the fake dog pickup move. So when your dog goes to the bathroom on the side of the road, I mean, if it's in a yard, pick it up. No problem. I get that. I throw up. I have a weak stomach. But the fake move is when the dog goes on the side of the road, you just pick up the leaves next to the poop so you don't gag. But last week, my neighbor, I went from took my dog for a walk, went out like 20 seconds. My dog pooped right away, wasn't expecting it, did the fake pickup move, realized I didn't have my phone on me and I wanted to talk on the phone. And then I took the bag because I knew there's no poop in it, held it in my mouth. Meanwhile, my neighbor's on the porch watching. And then I say, oh, crap, I really don't have my phone. Check out my pockets. I take a bag of poop, there's no poop, stuff it in my back pocket, walk back to my house, get my phone, come out, my neighbor's right there being like, what did you just do? Now I'm getting caught. Now I had to make this whole fake story how my dog didn't really go. He just acted like he had to go because my neighbor thought I put a bag of poop in my mouth and then crammed it in the back of my pocket.
All right.
But that's a fake dog poop pickup move that you got to learn.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is that you got to be very careful with the subterfuge when you're trying to deal with that.
Yeah, it seems to me like a lot more pretending makes your life a lot more complicated if you do it that way.
I throw up. Like, there's nothing, I can't clean the litter box. My wife has to clean the litter box because I throw up.
So, I mean, it's that bad? It's like gag-inducing to pick it up? What about this kid? Can you get the little arm? The little... Like the thing that's got... Yeah, I've seen people actually walk around with the thing that you squeeze and it scoops it. It's like a mini shovel.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
I'm not lying.
Was that just you thinking about it?
Really?
Hot, steamy...
Stop.
Fresh.
Get a rich.
Out of the butt.
Ooh.
People have called this show immature. It's absolutely unfounded. All right, very good.
I don't have a problem with that.
Like fecal Play-Doh, friend.
All right. All right. We won't mention excrement again. Back.
It's usually the phone screen. No, it's not. No. I mean, Butler was the guy. Butler was the guy in the playoffs.
Butler was last the guy. Year. Embiid was the guy who made big plays. Like, those are, I mean, at least definitely Embiid. And Jimmy Butler probably as well. Like, those are guys that I could see giving a max contract. You're going to give a max contract to a guy who can't shoot, who is a liability at times. I heard somebody talking about this yesterday, and they're exactly right. Can you name a guy who is a max player who has such a glaring liability as Ben Simmons?
The only thing is he's 6'10 and can handle the ball.
Okay, fine, but he's a liability at times. And I can't think of anybody who's a max player that has one that glaring. Like, there's some guys who are offensive juggernauts and might not be great on defense. I could see that. And you could look at that as liability. But you want to talk about a guy who can't shoot and you're giving him a max contract on a team where you have guys like Embiid and stuff that are going to lock it up. And
well,
I mean, you.
Here's the thing. I mean, Horford's going to get old. I mean, he's borderline for an NBA player old now. He's going to be 37 at the end of his career. And if you let Simmons go, he'll get a big contract somewhere else. I mean, Simmons is still really young.
Did they do this 2 years early?
No. Simmons is entering the last year of his contract.
Okay, so he had one more year.
Yeah, no, if they were going to do it, they needed to do it now.
All right. Yeah, especially with giving Horford that money.
This is a sign. This is it. You're going for it here. The East is more wide open than it was before. This is your chance. This is what you moved all the chess pieces around for 5 years for. I mean, this is the core of your team. You decide, is Ben Simmons part of your core or not? And obviously the answer is yes, and he's an anomaly in the NBA. There aren't many 6'10" point guards.
You keep saying that, but he has had chance after chance to prove himself in the playoffs, and he's had no big moments.
I think he's going to get a better chance to do that now.
I mean, what was last year then?
Last year was Jimmy Butler's team.
Okay, well, I mean, he was
Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid get the ball before him in crunch time situations.
But you're making him one of the three guys.
Yes,
you're
making
him one of the max player guys.
That's exactly what you're doing.
I don't think it was worth it for the Sixers.
I don't think Tobias Harris deserves a max contract either.
Well, I agree with that.
I mean, who's a better player?
They're both questionable decisions.
Who's a better player?
Dude, I don't want either of them. I don't want to spend that much on either of them. I don't think either of them are worth $170 million.
Because Butler wasn't coming back. Butler wanted to go to Miami for whatever reason, probably the weather.
I just think this is something that is going to hinder this team for a while. Like, that's a contract where somebody looked at the numbers, and they saw him in the regular season. There's all this stuff about him being third. He is a liability.
Offensively, yes.
Yes, he's an offensive liability. He can't shoot. And at this point in his career, like, I know a lot of people saying, well, you could probably learn how to maybe shoot from the arc. And by the way, there is a report that came out yesterday, just happens to be on the same day where he signed his contract, where he's had teammates saying that he's now shooting it from the three, which I would love to see.
Practice, that's just dandy.
right.
Good. All right, we saw him with no one guarding him shoot threes.
But that's great news.
I mean, hell, I saw Enes Kanter hit a three during practice. He's not going to shoot too many of those when he's a Celtic.
As a Celtics fan, you see this news and you're like, all right.
And you got a 6'10 point guard that's 22.
Yeah, Philadelphia is a better team than the Celtics.
Oh, yeah. No one
right
doesn't
now.
Think that.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think they probably are, too. I mean, I don't know.
No, probably about it. Right now, they're a better team.
But I don't think it's a huge given.
I think, save for injury, it's a two-team race in the East. Unless there's a
don't even put the Sixers in the same category as Milwaukee.
No, Milwaukee, according to a lot of people, is the best team, has the best chance of winning a championship.
Milwaukee's one, Philadelphia's two.
It's Milwaukee, and then there's a bunch of maybe.
I think Philadelphia.
There's about three or four teams that are maybes.
No, you say that. I think Philadelphia
took
two.
Toronto to seven games.
Philadelphia is a clear two,
yeah,
and
they
then
had
it's
Jimmy
a bunch
Butler
of maybes.
And they had what's his name, Redick, who are both gone. Who are their two? Well, they had their best player, which was Jimmy Butler. That was their best guy. He's gone. And then you got rid of one of their best scorers. So who do you have left? Who's taking the outside shot?
Joel Embiid is a good three-point shooter. Al Horford's a good three-point shooter.
Okay,
no,
so
no one's going to.
You're relying on your two big men.
Redick is a one-trick pony. He's a dynamite three-point shooter. You're not going to replace a guy like that.
Did they get better?
But.
Did they get better?
Hold on. But you will have a guy playing the off guard who will be able to stay on the floor at the end of games.
Did they get better? Did the addition of who's the guy they just brought in? Other than, of course, Horford, the other guy.
Harris was already with the team.
Yeah, that's right. They got him halfway through the season.
Richardson.
So, okay. Are they better than they were last season?
No. They probably treaded water at best.
They're not. They're not better.
I know that.
So ESPN has, in terms of winning the championship, have the Bucks number one, Nuggets number two.
Oh, that's stupid. I saw that too yesterday. Yeah. That is
Clippers number three.
Nuggets are very good.
76ers number four, Houston, L.A., then the Celtics.
Look, the Nuggets almost posted the best record in the West. They lost out. I don't have it in front of me. They lost out to Golden State by a game or two for the best record in the West. And they didn't change a thing. I mean, they actually added Jeremy Grant, who's a nice little role player, but everybody from that team is back, And Jokic continually gets overlooked. He's the best center in the league right now.
Yeah, I like him. I like that team a lot.
And when Jokic came and beat the Celtics, what do you compare him to? Like a bag of potatoes?
He's like a bag of potatoes.
Yeah. Just,
but
a bag of potatoes
great.
That can play.
Yeah, but can kill you.
It's like a bag of skinned potatoes.
Yes, that's true. Doesn't have a lot of hair.
But they don't have an assassin on that team.
Yeah,
and that's what the Clippers have. Like, they've got a guy who's
Jamal Murray scored
assassin.
A lot of points against the Celtics one night.
All right, he's not an assassin.
Yeah. They're also hoping Michael Porter Jr., who, if you remember, going into...
Back injury cost him going for in, rookie
in,
year.
Going
yeah.
in, well, going into Missouri was supposed to be like a lock at number one.
But I mean, he's had the back. That's yes. the problem. He's been very injury prone. But if healthy, he's supposed to be good.
I don't get why people are so have this thing about the 76ers. Now, I'm not saying in comparison to the Celtics, because I'll be honest, nobody knows what the Celtics are going to be. There's so many moving parts. There's so many, well, maybe Gordon Hayward's going to be the guy.
That's the thing that drops
maybe
the Celtics down.
They're
about
Tatum's going to move up.
There are about five maybes there.
Yeah, there's a ton. So no one's right now saying that what the Celtics are these are any great shakes. But to say that the Sixers are all of a sudden these world beaters when they're not as good as they were last year.
All I said was the Sixers are better than the Celtics. I never said the Sixers are better than Milwaukee either. All I said was the Sixers are a clear number two in the East. I don't know why that's such a controversial statement.
Well, I think that also you got to look at Indiana. Indiana's going to be a good team.
Indiana is going to be better. Malcolm Brogdon's going to help a lot, and I think they got Jeremy Lamb too. And when you get Oladipo back, that's fine. But you lost Bogdanović, who was a pretty decent scorer for them.
Yeah, they're not wild about Indiana.
Honestly. No, I mean Indiana's a solid 3-4, but so are a lot of like three or four other teams, including the Celtics.
They're 40-1 odds.
They're all you put all those other teams in like a big basket and pull out names at the moment. I mean, it's Milwaukee clear number one, Philadelphia probable number two, and then everybody else.
Well, it's kind of cool because you take a look at what the Celtics have and you don't know what the future is going to be. You know what the future is now with the Sixers.
Like, yes.
They've locked into these guys.
Yes.
And
they've
right
made
now,
their
if,
decision.
If that's what you got and these are the horses you're running with, you're never going to win the East. As long as Giannis Antetokounmpo
is
here,
say, Giannis
you are
is a question
never
going to
win
after next season.
If you're putting all your chips in this crew, the Sixers are never going to win the East. As long as Giannis Antetokounmpo stays where he is, and he's got to because he has the ability to make the richest contract in NBA history. Because when he signs that supermax contract, which he will, it'll be when the whole
there are no guarantees.
The money changes.
There are no guarantees in this business. We just saw how much money left on the table by a bunch of free agents.
He doesn't seem
this
like
summer.
The kind of guy who's thirsting to.
No,
go to a
you know
market.
What? I would have said the same thing for a lot of other guys, and a lot of other guys passed up $50 million apiece to sign lesser contracts to go somewhere else.
But the difference is, this is going to be the richest contract in NBA history.
There's a lot of time between now and a year from now. A lot of things can happen. Suppose Milwaukee doesn't do it again. They lose Brogdon, and that actually matters. Eric Bledsoe's a wild card as a point guard. Suppose that matters. Suppose Middleton gets hurt. Suppose a lot of things. A year from, there's a lot of basketball between now and next summer. There's no guarantees Giannis is coming back. We just saw it this summer.
What do we have coming up?
He's
in
going
the
to
stack?
Memphis.
Okay, good.
What do we got coming up? Maybe go to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, maybe possibly. We'll see if that ends up working. Phil Mickelson did something really stupid, which is, of course, not the first time he's done that. And you're never going to believe how much money the Encore made in its first week of operation.
All right, we will find out. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
I missed the Bruins. The way they ended the season and how things kind of petered out at the end. It was a fun as hell team to cover this year. And, you know, if you saw them in the locker room afterwards, I've said this a million times before. You know, a lot of people say, well, this is a team that got along. They obviously liked each other. And my answer to that is that you could say that about almost every championship team. Like, it's like anytime things are going well, you know, everyone's best friends. And, look, they got chemistry. I honestly believe with a lot of these guys, like, they truly seem to be, like, a bit of a gang. And amongst a lot of the young guys as well. As a matter of fact, Sean Corrali and Jake DeBrusque yesterday, they did a little FaceTime with each other. And for some reason, they thought they'd put it on the gram.
Yeah, you got to do it on the gram.
You got to put it on the gram. Got to show the world the FaceTime. But here is Sean Corrali, who apparently is stuck around town. He is he's got a place in Southie now. I think Jake DeBrusque is, I might be wrong, in Edmonton in this. Let's take a listen.
Hey, guys. Sean Corrali here. It's been a couple weeks, starting to miss a few of the guys. I haven't been able to see everyone. I want to take a shot in the dark and see if I can get a hold of JD on FaceTime. Here goes nothing.
What up, Slim?
Hey, yo, what's up, bro?
What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. You know, just living the dream, as usual. How you been?
Good, man. All good. I'm still in Boston. Let's see if I can turn my...
Oh, are you? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Where are you posted up at? That's nice.
Yeah, dude, I'm close to you. I moved into your hood.
In Salty?
Yeah.
Nice. Salty's sick, man. Salty's lit.
I know.
Yeah, I've just been pretty much posted up here in Edsy, not doing a whole lot, just spending time with the family. And are you working out there in Boston? Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah. I'm working out at Warrior.
Oh, nice. I'm coming down next week, eh?
Are you?
Yeah, I'm coming down for... Yeah. I want to say on the 17th.
All right, so he'll be in town. All I'm saying is that if you are a single guy and you're in your 20s and you're moving to Boston, if you don't move near Broadway over in Southwick, you're an idiot. When's the last time you've been down there? Like over
it's been
towards...
a while.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Just there is a stretch of road on Saturday, Sunday mornings, even for like brunch, between the Lincoln Tavern and like Locos Taqueria and like Capo, that it is just meat market. It
really?
Is every like first job 20 something gathering place, and it is line out the door, absolute meat market. It's a place where like someone like Jake DeBrusk, if he doesn't move there, it sounds like he's got a place there. Like that is the place to go if you have not been down there.
Or you moved to Wobbin.
Or you just moved to Wobbin where the party is.
On a main road.
Like your man David Backus.
Yep.
Yeah, so he has not sold his
house. The Tuke's back in Finland.
Yeah.
He's in Finland for a few weeks.
Going to dark metal shows and wearing
I would imagine
black jeans.
That's what I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a tweet that was put out yesterday by Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr, of course, the coach of the Golden State Warriors. And it said, hey, Shaq, I'm going to do both of us a favor and pretend that I didn't just get sent this morning. And it's an old video of Shaquille O'Neal from about 20 years ago.
If a coach takes a team to the finals, 4 out of 5 years, I'll kiss his feet on Fear Factor with cheese on it. I will. It'll never be done again.
What did DA immediately say to that? Don't mind if I do.
I'll tell you this. If there's a coach that walks onto the court, I will steal his shoes. Step on my face.
As an Italian,
kick me in the nuts.
Solid Italian seafood dinner is always fried.
Let me lick your dirty feet.
You can say calamari, but that just sounds a little bit too American. So you got to go a little.
I love this. So he said, here we go. More talk about how fun this Bruins team was and all the great chemistry they had because they FaceTime each other. No talk about another choke for the biggest letdown franchise in Boston sports history.
Yeah, that's what it was.
All right.
Sure.
Seeing that everyone thought they were going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals at the beginning of the season. That was just a prediction that everyone had, was that they were a team of destiny. The biggest choke. Is he really saying that was the biggest
stiletto heels
choke
on
in Boston sports history?
The biggest I had a large woman take a stiletto heel and put it on my Adam's apple.
Okay,
really?
Mm-hmm.
That was a little painful.
That was the biggest choke in, like, the most even series. Like, that series was about as even as it gets.
I can think of a couple bigger chokes.
Well, I would say the perfect effing season is the biggest choke almost in sports history.
That wasn't
not
good.
Not just Boston sports
Red
history.
Red Sox back in the day, 78 wasn't good. 86. 2011 wasn't good.
86?
86 wasn't good. Nope.
Dude, are you, like, 10? Do you not know anything? Like,
Bruins up 3-0 in the playoffs
against Philadelphia.
That was not good.
3-0 in game 7.
Well, you see, to me, that's a worse loss than what the Bruins did.
Yes.
When they were up 3 games and up 3 goals in game 7 against Philly and they lost.
Suddenly I'm depressed.
Right. Like, today,
and that was a very, very, very good team.
Yeah, that was a team had high expectations.
They lost to the Flyers.
Right, that was a team
they
had
high. They were missing a lot of people. Go back and look at that roster.
I know, but that season, they were very...
Did Krejci get hit in the head?
Krejci broke his wrist.
Yeah.
When they were up 3-0.
What was the series where the partition came down and hit Krejci in the head? Remember that in the playoffs?
I remember when that was.
They're all starting to
I just remember
Krejci
breaking his wrist, and then everything went to hell after that.
Yep.
Biggest letdown in Boston sports history. Are
not
you kidding
true.
Me?
That's someone who's
dude,
like,
it sucked.
That's
it was
someone
awful.
Who's 19 years old.
Right.
Doesn't know any better.
Doesn't know anything. But I mean, that game was awful, and there was nothing good about Game 7. But I mean, no one expected them at the beginning of the season to win it all. Yeah. On top of that, it was the series was fairly even. They just got their asses kicked in Game 7. I'm not quite sure what they're talking about there. Well, the Encore is making a buttload of money. And it's making the state a lot of money.
And you're going to go contribute to that tonight.
I'm not even going to gamble, I don't think. I just want to see
it. Yes, you are. You're not going to stand around and do nothing. You will gamble.
I'm not being insincere. I think I'm going to be gambling enough for this weekend. I just want
to see
it.
Doesn't matter, Rich. When you get to a casino, you're telling me that you can stand there and not participate, regardless of the circumstance?
Yeah, they're $50
tables. Yeah, at $50
tables,
it's very easy.
Oh, at $50 tables, that's one thing. But if the minimums are $5 and $10, you're going to stand there?
Well, A, they're not going to be.
They're being accused of giving people the business.
Well, so that is a lawsuit that some dude from New Jersey or New York just came up with. And what they're accusing them of, if you play blackjack, there's two different type of tables you can have. 6-5 odds and 3-2 odds. 3-2 odds, if you go to a casino, then that usually means if you're getting 3-2 odds, that means if you hit on blackjack, then you get money and a half. So if you get $10, you get $15 back. That's 3-2 odds. And they usually do that when you're using one or two decks. Like you've seen single deck blackjack, two deck blackjack. That's because it's easier to obviously to count the cards. It's easier to get blackjack.
Right.
But most casinos, when you have a buttload of cards, like eight decks going at once, you've seen how they got the huge shoots of cards.
Yeah.
That's 6-5.
Yes.
So you're getting a less of a payout. That means like if you bet like $5, you're getting $6 back instead of $10, like or $7.50. And I think what this guy is accusing them of doing is saying that they don't have enough decks in rotation to have that kind of payout. But I don't know. But that's just what I read.
He says that they not allow players to touch the cards and the cards are dealt face up.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing, too, is that there's certain criteria for having a 6-5 and that the cards of the dealer have to be face down. It's something weird like that. I don't know what kind of merit it has. But all I know is that they're bringing in a buttload of money. As a matter of fact, in the first week of operation, the Encore produced nearly the same amount of tax revenue for Massachusetts as the MGM Springfield took an entire month to make in its first month. As a matter of fact, they say that the Encore Boston Harbor generated $16.7 million in just gaming revenue from its first day through Sunday the 30th, which is a week, 7 days. They made $16.7 million. Table games accounted for $7.6 million, and slot machines accounted for $9 million. By the way, slots suck. I'm not a slots guy.
No.
Like, slots is just like, I mean, just play at home.
No, I can't do that.
No, I've got to have some sort of control in my game.
You need an oxygen tank attached.
It's humiliating because you look like a loser.
Right. I mean,
That number's not surprising.
The one benefit to slots is that you can find, like, penny slots and you can drink for free.
Yeah,
now, they don't bring the drinks as quick at the penny slots, but
also,
still.
It's highly embarrassing.
But how about that? 25%.
Ira, the weatherman, loves the... You're not even listening to me. Loves the penny slots. All right. We will talk more, Rich. What else will we discuss? Artie's out here with the whole film crew.
No, I'm sure it's happening there.
We're
talking about Phil Mickelson's bad decision.
Yeah. The fast and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's insane. You don't want that.
Well, Hakeem Olajuwon did it. All right. We'll be right back.
Home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. What's going on?
So Phil Mickelson has been playing some of his worst golf in a long time. As a matter of fact, he has missed the cut in 6 of his past 9 PGA appearances. And, man, he finished pretty damn low. 52nd, 71st, and an 18th the other 3, so it's not too bad. But he keeps blaming his fitness for the root of the problem. The man boobs are even more man boobish with Phil Mickelson as of late. And he told his fans on Twitter ahead of the Open Championship that he has lost 15 pounds in less than a week by fasting.
Yeah, he'll keep
really
it off.
Smart.
He said, quote, "I haven't posted anything because I haven't felt good about myself in the way I've been playing, and so I haven't done anything or wanted to be in public. The last 10 days, I've done what I call a hard reset. change and try to make things better. I have lost 15 pounds. I've done a six-day fast with water and a special coffee blend for wellness. He continued, I don't know if it's going to help me get better or not, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to try to get my best back.
Yeah, you want to eat all that muscle away and then come back and start eating and then immediately come back on. Fasting is a good idea for 2 weeks because then when your body just starts eating away its muscle. I wonder how much of that is muscle weight that he's lost.
What's Kimmel's deal?
He intermittent fasts. So like 2 days a week he doesn't eat.
Yeah, that's right. So it's like on Tuesdays and Thursdays, he just doesn't eat. And his whole thing is no meal wasted. Like every time we eat, we're going to make sure that it's something that A, we really want to eat, or B, it's something that's pretty good for us. Like you said, you can't just the whole like phone it in or someone bringing in food. That's one of his like the things that he lives by. But I mean, I wonder what that would do. Like if you just pick 2 days of the week to fast, that can't be healthy either, right?
I've read about it and there's mixed thoughts on it. There's mixed thoughts about, I mean, I've read that keto is absolutely horrible for you. I've read the Atkins diet is absolutely horrible for you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that burn more calories than you ingest.
I remember the moment I stopped drinking soda, like that the pounds fell off.
Oh, if I stopped drinking alcohol, I would weigh 175 pounds.
Could you drink vodka if you just wanted to, just like that be your thing?
Yeah, but then you're drinking vodka and that.
Which is kind of just going from 0 to 60.
Yeah.
But I've always thought that too. It's like, oh, we'll just drink vodka. I'm like, because sometimes I want a beer.
No, but also if you just start drinking, like say you're at home and you have a vodka drink, and then your next vodka drink is going to have more vodka
right
in it. And then finally you've got a pint glass full of vodka.
And all of a sudden you're your grandpa.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
All of a sudden you're sitting there with a pint glass full of vodka having to get up at the crack of ass.
Right, you're Nick's dad. You're already...
Yeah, but I don't have to do nothing. I work out at a Chinese restaurant.
Is Tuesday Chinese restaurant day?
Chinese Tuesday? So we can see him on the Greenway?
I'm trying to remember. When does he make the long walk?
It's one of these days. He does it the
Nick,
same day.
Nick, is it Tuesday? I get it. Yes, says Nick.
Has your dad been to the casino yet? Oh, you see, I would have thought he would have been one of the first guys to go over there. I thought he would have enjoyed that.
He likes being in his neighborhood. He likes sitting down.
But they got like some of the local guys from the North End. They opened up a restaurant there, didn't they?
He's fine where he is. He doesn't need all that. He doesn't need all that pomp and circumstance. Oh, Zolak.
What's up?
Hello. I talked to you on the air a little bit yesterday.
Yeah. It's nice to see you.
But I haven't talked to you in a while.
So Tuesday is Chinese day?
Yeah. Tuesday, I think, is
Let's
the
go
only...
to Quincy.
No, he walks down the Greenway from the North End to Chinatown.
He does not
Chinatown.
Have a car. He does not. Mr. Jamelli is without transportation.
He loves Jesus. That Imperial Garden, I think, the one that looks like an old movie theater.
Oh, I got
where,
you.
Where the combat zone used to be.
Mm.
Yeah, that's his spot.
Good soy sauce there.
Is it really? Oh, yeah. You love the soy sauce?
Very salty.
Okay.
All right. Well, I've never noticed that much of a difference between soy sauce.
Well, soy is the same as the next, but what do I know?
Nonetheless.
So you are a golden god, sir. You got some sun.
I haven't been in the sun in 2 days because I actually had to work yesterday. And then by the time you got home yesterday from up in New Hampshire.
Do you still put the baby oil on?
No, I go Banana Boat 4. Okay. I used to, I'm trying to, you know, getting older, put a little sunscreen in there.
Yeah, you get that vitiligo like me. You don't need that.
You don't tanning bed, do you?
No. God, okay. No. Right. I'm pure. Just pull sun, man. Just let it out.
Yeah. So
burn
it was a good time. You didn't get burned out with the family being around?
No, God, no. I like my family.
No, everyone likes their family, but sometimes it can be a lot.
But I mean, when you get 18 families under one roof, it gets a little hectic.
Yeah.
So.
All right, but you enjoyed yourself.
It's good to reimmerse myself into the building. I forgot every single login entry.
I do that all the time.
To my computer. I don't know how to log in. That's how long I've been away. That guy's name's JT. He's a salesman. Went back. I saw Dan Alpern here. He's back from his 18th trip. There's Nicole.
Hey, just
kind of reimmersing myself in the building. It's good to be back.
Point of order, Your Honor. Didn't Bledsoe have a tanning bed that you used?
No.
Who had a tanning bed?
Todd Rucci.
Okay. And did you use that?
Yeah.
If someone gave you one right now and put it in your home, would you use it?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I found it very relaxing.
Good. Thank you, Hardy, for clearing that up. Yeah.
I used
not
to love tanning
bed. He's the tanning bed guy.
It's so not opposed to it at all.
Yeah, right.
Tanning beds were the
best. I haven't used it in 20 years. But, man.
With that, the way the air came in and that noise, I fell asleep in them all the time.
The most disgusting thing was when you get up and you have that sweat and you have to clean, you have to give you the towel to clean up all your sweat.
Honey, you clean that up.
No, thanks. I had someone try to convince me to go to one of those, sensory deprivation chambers. There's one of those in Somerville, a place where you can go there and do that, where you're like in the tank.
Oh, no, that's a nightmare.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, the whole idea is you have like psychedelic experiences.
Yeah.
Like your brain,
it opens up your brain because there's nothing else you can do. Really
Your body's sensing nothing. You're floating on salt water and you can't hear anything and you can't see anything.
No,
I like those senses.
You know what I like? Them.
Not thinking.
The worst thing invented was the stand-up tanning
bed. Alone with my thoughts. Excellent idea.
Exactly. You know the stand-up tanning bed with the fans? Like you get in there like after a minute you're bored. Like I'm never doing this again.
See, I loved the tanning beds. I thought they were very
Shaughnessy for 2 hours. So, I haven't talked to Dan, but like his tweets over the last 2 weeks, he's trying to kill the sport of baseball.
He's mad at like Nathan Eovaldi and the Red Sox. And I didn't quite get his tweet yesterday, but he's mad.
And he's the Spanky Award winner.
What does that mean?
I think it's the Spink Award,
he's
right?
The Spink Award in the Hall of Fame.
Leon Spinks Award.
And we got McCone, so he should have some hot takes today. Look at you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.